For God has said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them. He just don't come jump in and jump out. He says, I'll come and dwell in. The anointing which you have received, it abides in you. And Jesus said, my Father and I, we will not leave you comfortless. We'll come to you. Said, I'm not going to send nobody else. I'm going to come myself. Said, my Father and I, we, plural. And he said, my Father and I, we will come and make our, not my, but our abode in you. So, our body is an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's what the Bible said. I've got to go along with it. So it said here, our body is a temple of the living God. For God has said, I'll dwell in them, and I will walk in them. How in the world is God going to walk in me unless he gets in me? Somebody said, well, now, why, God walked with Abraham. Don't say he'd be that good to us? A lot better. He walked with Abraham. He walks in me. That's right. Jesus said he's with you. He's been with you all the time. Said he's been with you all down the line, but said we're going to make the next move now. Said I'm going to go to heaven and make it possible that he'll get move on the inside, and he'll no longer be with you, he'll be in you.
Glory.
For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But he's with you now. I've anointed you, and the Spirit's been with you. It was with David. It is with Joshua. It was with Caleb. And it was with all those others, and the Spirit was with them. And the Spirit came upon Saul. The Spirit came upon David. And it goes on to say, but the Spirit is not just going to come on you. The Spirit is going to baptize you. He's going to come in and make his abode on the inside. This was such a great event that Jesus explained it one day after John had been preaching for a long time. Nobody ever went away and saying, I think he's a fanatic, and we ought to have a business meeting and put him out of shape. And also, when that old boy he stuck his chin out, and brother, he stuck his chest out there, and the way he was dressed, and the way he looked, and what he had inside of his soul, he stormed the hillsides, and they came from far and near. And whatever he told them to do, brother, and he said, line up and get down here and hit this water repenting, and they'd do it. And the big high priest came down from the temple, and you would give the boy a nervous breakdown, but coming to John was a young fella. He wasn't an old fella at all. Jesus was 30 when he entered in, and he's just a few months older than Jesus. Just a few months older. So John the Baptist was just a young kid, just a kid of a boy. But he was down there, and here come those white-haired high priests from the temple, and they were sure they'd give him a nervous breakdown. And he stopped and said, you bunch of serpents, reptiles, get on back to town and don't come back here until you come with fruit, meat for repentance.
Yes.
Don't come down here pious. Get off of that high horse. We're through with that. We're tearing those kind of buildings down. Let's come repenting. Let's make a straight way for God to walk in. That's the kind of fellow John the Baptist was. Now he said, I'm going to get small. I'm going to shrink up. But there's one coming around the corner, and he'll show himself right away. I'm a forerunner. I must back up, but he'll move forward. I get smaller, but he'll get bigger. I am not the one, but he is the one, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
Glory.
He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He's not just going to let you have it for a while. He's not going to let it come upon you. He's going to baptize you with it. And the next day they went out to hear him preach, took text, preached the same sermon again. I baptize with water. We'll have that in a few minutes. But we've got one coming around the corner. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
Not many days hence. Jesus said not many days hence when he got ready to go away. John said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now I'd said, who are you talking to, John? The 12? No, I'm not talking to the 12. I'm not talking to the 120. I'm talking to the multitudes. The next day, there's multitudes coming from all parts of the country. They were coming from far and near. They would travel for months. And the masses were out on the hillsides. And John said, I baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, shall baptize you. But the theologians say that only 12 were to be baptized. He cared not what the theologians said. Joel said God's going to pour out his spirit and all flesh is going to prophesy. Your young men and your old women and your young girls and all of them, they're going to prophesy. And on the day of Pentecost said, look at it, this is it. Thank God it's arrived. This is what Joel said, he pours out his spirit on all flesh. But let's notice, every day for months, he preached, I baptize with water, but he'll baptize you. Did he ever lie one time? No. So who is it for? It's for everybody. It's for the soldiers. It's for the Romans. It's for the Turks. It's for the Grecians. And so after Jesus come, John said, congregation, this is him. He's arrived. Said, this is the one that I've been telling you about. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God. God had to get a lamb to put all the sins of the whole world on, and this is him. Nobody else could qualify. I don't qualify. Michael don't qualify. Gabriel don't qualify. Angels in heaven don't qualify. But his son was the only one qualified. But this is God's Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus came. And then when Jesus walked into the temple and the masses were there, and it was the great day of the feast. And Jesus, that same one that John talked about. Anybody thirsty today? That's what said. Now, relive it. Just imagine you go back and stand on the courts. You'd have seen a man coming in. You wouldn't have seen someone coming in with halo all around him. That's a bunch of hooey. Putting it on calendars. Jesus didn't have no halo. There's time up there that he did shine. But when he walked the streets, he was just like any other man. My Bible says in Isaiah, there's no beauty that you should desire him. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised. He was rejected of men. He walked as just an ordinary. They said, who does he think he is? Why, his brethren are among us, his sisters. Now, if he'd have been walking along and all of his garments flowing and there was a great big glow coming and going from him and he had that kind of power. No, because he carried water for his mother, because he worked in the carpenter's shop, and that was the way he was to come. He was to be a root out of dry ground, you see, and that was the way he was to come into the world, and they didn't expect it that way, but he was the Son of God. Now, John the Baptist has said that he is the one, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But as he walked in that great day of the feast, here he come. They knew him. They recognized who he was. But he was just like a Jewish boy of those days. And remember this, he wasn't a hoary-headed man as your pastor today. He wasn't a man up in many years. He was just a young man in his early 30s. In his early 30s. He wasn't wore out like a bunch of gamblers and a lot of, you know, sells their body and run around and lives an immoral life. He had taken care of his body. He had a good, healthy body. He had a good countenance. And he wasn't full of wrinkles. Just a young fellow coming to thousands that had come from all over the world at the great day of the feast. And it was Pentecost. And it was the last day they had their 49th day. Pentecost is a feast of sevens. Seven times seven is 49. But the reason they call it the Feast of Pentecost is because they've got to wait until they have completed the seven feasts. And seven, when you get 49, and you have 49 days. It's, like I said, a feast of seven. Then when the 49th day comes, then there's supposed to be one more great day. God is the one that said it. He said you must set aside one more great day and let everybody stay over that next day which will bring you into the 50th. You go in those days and say, what is 50? Say, it's Pentecost. You'll say, what does the word 50 mean? 50 means Pentecost. No matter how you use it, 50 was Pentecost. So that's the reason why they called it the Feast of Pentecost, because they would have 7 times 7 is 49, and then one more makes the 50. So God said, have your feast, and it says feast number 1, feast number 2, and the harvest feast, and the Jubilee feast, and goes on down. But then the last day, everybody stays over for that last day. And then at the last day, they never drink no water from the time the 49th day winds up. Nobody touches a drink of water. Why? God said, I want the day of Pentecost to represent the time that you was traveling through the wilderness going to the Canaan land. And you were thirsty, dying, and you needed water. You had to have water, and it was death without it. But there was no water, so naturally, the devil would tell you, you're going to die. But God's carrying you through so you don't die. Now there's no water nowhere. There's not enough beast to bring water. There's no fountains nowhere to go get it. There's no fresh water in rivers anywhere. And how can men drink water when there is no water? God said, let's do a thing, Moses. Step out here. How do you like that big rock there? Said, that looks good. Bring all the children of Israel here. Step before it. Do what I tell you. Take your rod in your hand. And when they all get there, reach over and hit it. Let's see what happens. So Moses got them all there, and he stepped before the rock. And God said, go ahead now. And he smote the rock, and out it burst into a great big flowing river of water. And it run down, and everybody drank. It ran and ran and ran for years and years and years. It ran for 1,000 years and kept running and running and running. And when I went over there, I passed through the land. They said, there's the fountain of Moses. I said, what do you mean? Said, when he first came out, this is the rock. And for as far as your eyes could see, you could see vegetation. You could see trees on every side and the river. And the water was still flowing out of the rock. And it has been flowing since the day that Moses struck it. But there was no water. And God said, Moses, get ready, for I'm going to glorify my name. We're going to smite that rock, and we're going to get water out of it. Hallelujah. And so they drank the water from the rock. You ever read that in your Bible? And so God is here. He brings forth the water so they can be refreshed. And then as he goes on down later, show you how it connects with Christ. That rock has something to do with Christ. My Bible says, New Testament said, that rock was Christ. Yes. And so they took a great big huge piece of this rock, and they put it on a cart so it would remind them of how God struck the rock. So it said the rock followed them, and they carried the rock. And it took up a slogan to where the heathen out there, they had a rock. But it said, their rock is not as our rock, even the enemies being judges. Our rock is the greater. So many months later, years later, now notice, read your Bible, they needed water again. And so God said to Moses, Moses, you know the rock you got out there that represents our God? He said, yep. Well, you remember we struck the rock way back over many hills in the background. And that water's way out of sight, but you need water again. Now, Moses, I want you to do another wonderful thing. I want to get great glory to my name. Stand out there and bring the rock before all the people. And when you go out there before the rock, I want you to look at the rock and speak to it and say, rock, give us water. And the rock will break over and give you water. That's a beautiful type. Now, Moses got together, and he had just about been put in the frying pan by all of his deacons. Everybody's wanting to crucify him. He's mad at him. He's so mad that he couldn't hardly hear what God said. So he brought them all together, and he said, "Everybody come together. We've got a business meeting." And they all got together, and he brought out that rock. And the Bible said that rock fallen was Christ. It represented Christ. So when he got them together, he knew God was going to do it, because God never failed him. So he stood before the rock. He grabbed his rod, and he said, "Hear ye me, ye rebels. Shall I fetch water out of this rock?" And he reached over and smote the rock. And when he did, he should not have done that. He made a great mistake. Because if there's one human being on earth that God wanted to go into Canaan land, it was Moses, for all that he had endured and suffered. But he said, "Boy, that knocked it. You will never go into Canaan's land. Because you have disobeyed me, and you smote that rock when I told you to speak to it."
Yes.
It has already been smitten, but only once. From then on, you speak to it, and it gives you its water. One day, there was a man walked up. He was dry and thirsty to a well, and said, "Lady, could you give me a drink of water?" She said, "Why, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan, and this and that and the other." He said, "Just a minute, lady. If you knew who it was asking you for a drink of water, you would in return ask me for a drink of water. I didn't say for you to hit me. I said for you to ask me for water. And if you'd ask me for water, I'd give you living water." And she said, "Sir, give me that water." And I wonder if he gave it to her. She dropped her water pots, and she tore back to the city, and she brought the whole city to the feet of Jesus. And he stayed there 3 days getting folks saved and getting them, getting their names in the book of life. And they said, "We now not only believe because we've heard you, we believe because not only what that woman told us, but we've heard yourself." But here's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ was the giver of the water. And God said, "Son, I'm going to have to let you go up here and die, and you'll never be able to go in. I'll let you go up there and look at it, but you cannot go in. I've got to let the world know that something tremendously wrong happened, that you broke a great type, and it's not that way. So I must do it by letting the world know you can't go in because you smote that rock instead of talking to it." So Jesus stood there one day, the two-legged fountain, and said, "Is anybody thirsty today?" And they'd been fasting on that great day of the feast. They hadn't, none of them had any water for about 24 hours, because said at the end of the day of the great feast is over. 6 o'clock would be over. He got there about 20 minutes after five. And they hadn't had any water for 24 hours, just about 23 hours or more. And everybody was thirsty. Brother, when they heard the word water, they were all ears. He said, "Is anybody thirsty? If you are, come to me and drink." Got everybody's attention. And then they looked, and here it was, that fanatical Galilean claims he's the Son of God, coming up here telling us to come to him and drink, and he hadn't got a bucket of water in his hand. He said, "And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." And the next verse says, "Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Christ was not yet glorified. But after he was glorified, he came out of the grave and said, "Now I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And he's not going to be with you. He's going to be in you. For our body is the temple of the living God. For God has said, I will dwell in them. They will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord God. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you. You'll be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. I'm going to live. I'm going to dwell, because you're the temple of the living God. I'm going to not only come to dwell in you, I'm going to come to dwell in you and to walk in you." When you go walking in the morning, you can say, I'm going to take God for a walk. Thank God I'm going to go for a walk. And you'll say, well, I just can't believe he's in here. Well, the book says he is. And if we have an up-to-date experience, thank God he comes to dwell. I know one thing, there's a lot of things happening that never did happen when he wasn't there. Yes. It's amazing what happens in here when he is dwelling. One morning, Brother Wigglesworth got up. He was over in Scotland, I think, somewhere. He was telling it in his book. Everybody can read it. You can get it at the library if they still have them. And he said he got up and, you know, thanked God for his presence and all, and ready to check in, see what God wanted to do. And Lord, he usually go for a little walk. God said to him, said, I want you to go for a walk down here this morning. And so he loved to go for a walk, so he walked down. And when he came down about a block, he came to a railroad track, a ditch and a railroad track. Well, he figured he'd turn around and come back. So the Lord said, no, turn around and go down that little trail, down the barbed wire fence, down the railroad track. Wasn't no street or sidewalk, but there was a little bunch of shotgun houses along through there. And there was some colored folk that lived in the shotgun houses, you know. And so he thought, well, it's the first time the Lord ever told me to go walking down the railroad track. The railroad's up there. He was walking down this little track, a little side of the ditch, along the barbed wire fence. So he passed a couple of little shotgun houses, and he came to another one. And the Lord said, go in this gate and go up and knock at the door. And so you say, well, now, no, he didn't worry. He's accustomed. Said, my sheep know my voice, and he knew God's voice. So he went up to the door, and he knocked on the door, and the lady of the house came to the door, and the minute she threw the door open, she said, you are the man I saw last night in my sleep. And he looked at her, and he said, she said, you come to pray for my daughter. And he said, lady, do you have someone sick here? Come on in, son. So he came in. Said, last night, I knelt and I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't know who you can have to come. I don't know what, but my baby's dying. Had this fever, scarlet fever, whatever it was, for a long time. And going down, 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 just about die. And she said, I prayed through and touched God. I went to sleep. And in my dream last night, I saw a man come to my door. And he was you. You're the one that I saw come to my door. And said, he came in and he laid his hands on my daughter. And when he did, my daughter raised up and opened her eyes and she is well and said, mister, said, you're a man of God, aren't you? And he said, yes, lady, said, I came here because God led me to come. And he said, where's the girl? Said, come right here. So they walked into a little old room, pushed back a little curtain, and there in the bed was this girl with fever and unconscious. And he laid his hands on her, and all at once the fever broke, and her eyes opened up, and she looked around, and he said, Mama, give her some refreshments, said the Lord's healed her. And so after they had a time of rejoicing and she praised God with him, he turned around and went on back and got his biscuits and had his breakfast. But he had been on an errand for the Lord. Why? Because God was walking in him. Now, everyone don't enjoy that experience. It's not because it's not for him, it's because of unbelief. If thou canst believe, he said, this is the experience. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. I said, I would come. Then the next verse said, for my Father and I, we will come and make our abode in you.